We love sustainability, and so does Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi, Sashir, you're here.
Hi, Nicole. Well, we're on a roll.
Okay, that was good.
No point. How are you?
Listen, I'm good. I'm thriving. Mm-hmm. I'm on the East Coast. It's a little chilly, gotta say.
Is this technically winter time? Yeah, it's winter time.
Yeah, it is winter. Tis the season.
I think, honestly, living in LA, I get confused about the seasons because I'm like, is it? Have the seasons actually changed? Did we reach fall? Did we reach winter? Yes. So in some places, it's actually winter.
It is. And I remember my first year in LA, I went to the bank for something and there was a child in a costume and I was like, what? Why? It's so hot. And then I looked at my phone. It was Halloween. Sashir.
Nicole.
Christmas is around the corner.
Oh, this is true.
What do you want for Christmas? What are five things you want for Christmas?
Whoa.
Actually, three. What are three things? Five is a okay. lot.
I was gonna say, really? Five is a little overwhelming. Yeah. I don't know if I even have five wants like that. Even though there's a whole song about things that people are getting for Christmas, and there's 12 of them. 12 days. I can't think of things.
What are they getting? Oh, partridges and pear trees.
And turtle doves.
I don't want that shit. Who wrote that song?
Maybe back in the day, those were like hot commodities.
Two turtle doves. You want two birds?
You do love birds.
I do love a bird, but I don't know what a turtle dove is. Is it a chocolate turtle? Like, is it like, you know how like turtles like a yeah. chocolate with caramel?
Yeah.
Is it a candy bird?
I guess I thought it was more like a dove. Who's this?
Oh.
Sorry about that. Those are who wrote the 12 Days of Christmas.
It absolutely is not Judith. One of those people is Rick Moranis. And there's no way.
That's what Google said to me.
Is that true?
Oh, maybe Rick... that's the movie.
What oh. The song?
Here we go.
That's really funny. I mean, since she was coming for you, Judith.
I was like, there's no way. I think
Lady
that's
Grom. Likes to embarrass me.
Lady Grom wrote The 12 Days of Christmas in 1898.
She didn't have shit to do in 1898? That seemed like a time where, like, you were in the, like, sewing stuff and walking through mud and shit.
Well, you could definitely write a song doing those two things. It actually sounds like she has all the time in the world to write 12 Days of Christmas.
You're right. I just feel like back in like those times, it's like, how do you, I guess, how do we find joy now? But I'm like, wasn't slavery back then? You looked at slaves and you were like, I'm going to write a fun song about presents.
Yes, because she didn't have anything work to do. All the slaves were doing the work for her. She had the most free time in the world.
Wait, so it's like, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
What was the first thing?
Partridge and a pear tree was the first
thing. Oh, duh. A partridge and a pear tree.
Okay. What's the second thing?
Two turtle doves and a
What's
partridge.
The third thing?
Three French hens?
This is a song about birds.
4 Mockingbirds, 3 French Hens. Yeah,
wow.
Right.
So Shira, you know this whole song.
5 golden rings. Okay, and then I don't want to look at the screen. I'm trying to see if I can get all of them. What's okay? 6. 6 is actually. Let me just go from 12. 12.
Okay.
Drummers drumming. 12 drummers drumming.
Yeah.
11 ladies dancing. 8. No. 10. No. Wait, 11. Who's 11? Oh, Piper's piping. 10. Lords a-leaping.
Yes.
9 ladies dancing. 8 maids a-milking. 7 swans a-swimming. 6 geese a-laying. 5 what? Golden rings. 4 mockingbirds. No, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Wow, Sashira, you knew so many of those.
Wow.
So wait, so there's going to be one lord a-leaping with no lady.
Dang, yeah.
That's fucked up. And but that's the birth of an incel.
There's one like, partridge it's available.
Christmas. It's Christmas, and nobody's got a bitch for me. This is I hate women,
and that's how an incel was born on Christmas Day. Jesus died, and an incel was born.
An incel was born because I mean, one of the lords, he's not gonna want to fuck with one of the 8 maids of milking because they're milking their titties. Like they have something to do.
They're busy. They have jobs.
Okay. Who are you, Sashir? What did I just say? I almost called you Christine. I don't know a Christine. Sashir, what is... There's nobody in my life named Christine except for the lead of Phantom of the Opera, which I have not seen in a minute. But what are the 3 things that you want for Christmas?
Gosh, that's really hard. I would like... I love bucket hats. I'm really into bucket hats and get a cool bucket hat. Why are you laughing?
No, I'm not laughing. That was a supportive chuck. It
Why
was.
Are you laughing?
I was like, because maybe I got you a bucket hat.
Really?
I don't know.
No,
maybe.
You didn't. Okay.
You don't know.
I don't know. I'm excited to see. What else would I want? I would also want it's really hard because I'm like only thinking of things I need, but I don't want friends to get me things I need, like kitchen stuff or whatever. So I'm like, what do I want? Like a backpack purse?
Okay.
And maybe like some cool socks.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
She's an accessory diva.
Yeah. We're accessorizing my life right now.
Yeah. I
what
like
are
that.
3 things you want?
Okay. To find true love, world peace, and socks. I think.
Okay.
I think I'm going to start. Okay, so you know how I wear ankle like pants like most of the time? My pants don't hit the floor. I like a little flood. So I was like, okay, what if with my kids, I start wearing like scrunchy socks? Because I just did a job where we were outside and I got over my texture thing by wearing the socks I like underneath the other socks.
Oh, interesting. That's very
I'm
smart.
I'm double socked.
She is double socked.
Don't come over me. Don't come over here. I'm double socked.
You don't want to mess with her. She's double socked.
I'm ready.
I so, like that.
Those are the 3 things I want. And honestly, okay, don't come for me. I know I spent most of 2019 being like, next year is my year. And then 2020 was 2020. But I really do feel like 2024 is gonna be my year. I really do. Sashir, I think it's going to be your year. I think a lot of nice things are going to happen to a lot of nice people. And I think the bad people, okay, things will happen to them. Like, I think everyone's going to have a good time.
Ooh, I like that. 2024 is another election year. So who knows?
Okay, but here's the thing. Good shit's gonna happen. I feel it in my little heart. I feel it in my little bones. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah.
2024.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It'll be great.
Yeah. I'm so excited. It's gonna be great because 2023 was boo-boo trash. It was not a year I liked.
Oh, yeah. I guess some bad things happen.
For me, all of the bad things happened. It was bad. I didn't like it. But 2024, the car is turning around. Not doing a U-turn and going back where it came from. It's going to make a left somewhere and a couple right turns, and it's going to be great.
I love this. I'm excited. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your own body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that will block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Love starts with you. Show off your personal style every day with new Pandora pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages and everything in between, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle. Create a look that's all your own with a unique mix of meaningful charms, or choose from Pandora's sparkling selection of timeless designs, perfect for making an eye-catching statement. With Pandora Jewelry's vast selection of rings, bracelet, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to love it, stack it, and wear it, and share it. Style your everyday favorites with sparkling cuts, vibrant enamels, and playful designs, or truly make it your own with a personal engraving. Pandora Jewelry is the perfect way to share the gift of love with yourself and the ones closest to your heart. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora, be love.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, you know what? You and I are actually going to be together on Christmas. And I think it might be funny because we're going to be in an airport to find gifts for each other in the airport.
Oh my God. We really should do that. That's fun. Also, mm-hmm. when the plane takes off, we should go, oh, holy night. See if we can get everyone to sing along.
Yeah, that could either go really well and like magical or horrible. And everyone's so upset. At
I think everyone would be so upset because here's the thing. When I'm having fun, everything is cool. I'm ha ha ha, tee hee hee, having a great time. Sometimes when other people are having fun, I'm a grumpy person. I'm like, Jesus Christ, why are they so happy? Does that ever happen to you?
Oh, all the time. I'm like, oh, those fucking laughing people have a good ass time. And it's like, I'm that person sometimes. And they're having joy.
Yes. Like 99% of the time, I'm having a great time. But the minute I'm alone and someone's having a good time, boy, am I angry. Sometimes I'm like, let me in on the fun. I was on a flight once and there was these two men who were truly like the straight male versions of us. They were like tee-hee-heeing. They were talking about the people walking behind them or like walking past them. Not in a bad way. They were like, man, that's a good jacket. Ha, ha, ha. And they had already started drinking and they were having the best time. And I think I was texting you being like, these men suck. I want them to die. And then I landed and I was like, they were just having a nice time.
Yeah, people do that with us. I'm sure. I'm sure people are like, oh my God, these girls are giggling so much.
They're laughing at nothing. I'm sure when we went to Vegas, people were really mad because you were in Comfort Plus and I was in First. And I kept turning around and pointing and laughing at you.
Yes, it was like a long distance conversation that was being had across the aisle, across rows, just like, hi.
Oh, I love it. I love being like that. And I hate when other people do it. It's like, you can't have fun when I'm not having fun.
Yeah, let me in on the fun. But also don't, because I won't understand any of the references you're talking about. We're not friends. I don't know you.
Yeah, I don't fucking know you. And I don't know your life. Sashir, can I tell you something? I'm getting old.
Like,
did you know?
What you mean?
Did you hear about it?
Well, I'm months older than you, so this doesn't make me feel good.
You're right. You are older than me, and we should never forget that. I did a job because strike's over, and I had to get down on my knees a lot and then stand up a lot. And boy, oh boy, at one point they were like, what can we do to make your get up a little cleaner? And I was like, I don't know, shave 90 pounds off of me in 20 years? Like, this is it? This is what you're getting?
Oh, God, I know. It sucks. Yeah, all those, like, videos of people being like, you know, if you were born in, like, 1990 something and you're like, or like, 19, oh, God, we're born in the 80s.
Lord, yeah. Sashir, people born in the year 2000 at the millennium are 23 years old now.
They really should be called the millennials.
They really fucked up calling them Gen Z or whatever. They should be millennials. Welcome to the millennium. We're here. We've been here for 23 years. And the millennium, honestly, is not going well for Will Smith.
No. No, this was a bad year for him.
But honestly, it is. He has an Oscar.
Yeah, what a mixed bag. He does have an Oscar, but such a sullied name.
Yeah, it's very funny because it's like he behaved badly and then got a reward and then got dragged for the rest of the year. Like, that's a funny turn of events. Usually you do something good and then maybe something bad and then get dragged. But it was like bad, good, bad. Nice little pattern.
Yeah, and it's also like, it doesn't help that we know so much about his personal life, and then some people are now dragging him for his personal life and what he did very publicly where he smacked Chris Rock. It's all very sad.
Yeah, but I agree with you. We should be calling Gen Z the millennials.
Yes.
I wish he would make more music. Okay, what's that song? Here come the men in black. Men in black. I love that song.
I need to remember.
Remember. Do, 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 do. Why did he stop making the theme songs to his movies?
I think maybe because he started doing more serious movies. So I think like it'd be hard for him to do like Pursuit of Happiness, like
Why
rap song.
Can't I be happy? I'm looking for it.
Like, here comes the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah. Serena and Venus hit that ball.
Truly, like, I feel like movies nowadays don't have like theme songs or like banging soundtracks. This is true. I guess, they're just usually like nice songs that are in the soundtrack, but not like a specific, like, this is obviously the Wild Wild West theme song.
Welcome to the Wild Wild West. Do do boop. I don't know how that goes, but you get it. That's like Romeo Must Die. That was like Aaliyah. Didn't she have like two songs on it?
I feel like the whole soundtrack was Aaliyah's song. It was like she had so many songs in that movie.
Right? What are we doing? Bring that back. Honestly, bring back old movies. Bring back old entertainment.
I miss old entertainment.
I do. I think it's more thoughtful and like more work went into it. Now, I'm not saying Romeo Must Die is a masterpiece. It simply isn't. But
I did love it.
It was fun.
It was very, very fun. It was very fun. Yeah. And we were okay. Oh, Destiny Child had a song on Romeo Must Die. That's fun.
Okay. Lil Mo, remember her?
I do remember her.
Timberland and Magoo. Yes.
Shantae Moore. This was an excellent
soundtrack. This is great. This is what we need to be doing.
Cross promoting.
Hello, Hollywood. They didn't pick up.
Oh, no. Get them back on the phone.
Get them on the horn.
I wonder, what do you think it'd be like if Will Smith right now came out with like a hardcore rap album, like just to really change his image?
I would love it.
Right?
That is the rebrand I am waiting for him to be like, I'm not Mr. Nice Guy anymore. Remember, I'm from Philly. I've been in these streets and parents don't understand and neither does Jada. I want it.
I would love that. I would absolutely love it. And I really think it would help.
Me too. I think it would help
his whole image. Yeah.
Should we become his publicists?
Yes. I'm willing to dedicate my whole life to that. Redirect my
career.
Where's
Sashira and Nicole? They opened a publicity house? A publicist studio?
Publicity house.
A publicity house?
I think.
They don't know publicists. What it is, but they're publicists and they only rep Will Smith and he doesn't know it.
He just keeps getting assigned these very strange things and he does it.
That would be amazing if we could control Will Smith via remote.
Yeah.
What did you do this week? Anything fun? Anything silly?
I tried skateboarding for the first time.
I sent you a video. I saw the video.
It went surprisingly well. It was a long board, and I guess I truly have never even stepped on a skateboard because I'm just like, that looks like I'm going to break my face. Mm-hmm. And I got on it. And then, like, it's kind of scary to, like, push off and be like, I'm going. But I, like, slowly pushed off. And then it wasn't bad. I was, like, kind of grooving. And I think it's, like, helpful that it was a long board so I had more space for my feet. But it was actually fun.
Look at you, Tony Hawk. I almost just said Tanya Hawkins. And I was like, I don't know who that is. I don't know.
It's like, but it's Tanya Harding and Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah. Those are two people that no one's ever, you know, blended together.
Confused.
I do want to get back into roller skating. I think my uncle is strengthened enough.
Oh, good. I would love to.
I just got to do it.
Yeah,
but my bones, I feel rickety, Sashir. I might have to get a massage or something.
Ooh, I'm due for a massage too. I actually texted my masseuse in LA. And he was like, do you want a 60-minute massage, a 90-minute massage, or 120? And I was like, that's an option? A 2-hour massage, which I guess. But and I was like, I got excited. I was like, ooh, 120. And I was like, oh, my God, no, I would melt. Yeah. I'd be like goop at the end of it and probably bored. I think I'd be like, OK, I want to get up now. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, that seems too long. I think I would fall asleep.
Yeah. I definitely fall asleep during massages.
I'm trying to think of, I think we were in Mexico. I fell asleep. It was like by the water and the water was crashing and I was like, goodbye. And then I woke up because I farted, which is humiliating.
Yeah. But, you know, that means your body's relaxed. Everything's coming out.
Also humiliating. My friend today walked in on me in the bathroom and saw my titties. And all I said was, oh, no, titties. And I just I didn't move or anything.
Oh no, titties.
And then afterwards I laughed and I was like, why was my reaction time so slow? Am I okay?
Oh no.
Oh no, titties.
Well, I mean, at least it was that and not you like on the toilet.
Yeah, you're right. But I am trying to like craft the perfect response to when someone opens the door when you're on the toilet, because it's always like, oh, no, someone's in here. But I want to come up with something funnier. Maybe do you want to join me?
I did see a tweet that said, like, how do you respond when someone knocks the bathroom and knocks on the bathroom? And they're like, I've been waiting for you.
Twitter, a.k.a. X, is very funny.
It's very funny. People are funny.
People are so funny. Something happened to my algorithm on there where I don't see any tweets from anybody I know. I just see memes now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't follow anybody. I just see random stuff and it's great. The people
I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I sent you a throwback from 2020 where a child was in school on Zoom school and their naked mother came in the room.
Oh, did you see that yet? I don't think I did.
It's funny.
Wait, is it on Twitter?
It's on Twitter. I sent it right into your inbox.
Oh, here it is.
It really made me laugh.
And the child's just looking at the screen like, what?
What? This is what
that's
she does.
My mom. That's how she walks around. Oh,
and a
man.
Lot of the comments are like, oh my God, why is that woman naked in front of her child? I grew up in a naked house where my mom was naked all the time. And like, it wasn't weird to see my mother naked. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to me. Like, I don't know. I feel like if I had a kid, I'd be like, I don't know, you came out of me. Like, I shouldn't, whatever. Who cares? I see you naked.
Totally. Yeah. I also think it's like, good for kids to see people comfortable in their skin. I feel like when you like train them to cover up early, they're like, oh, this is something I have to be ashamed about, as opposed to like, it's just my body. This is it. I'm walking around. It's fine.
Yes, it's just your body. Let it all hang out, young one. Hey, young blood, let that body hang out. Just let it all hang out. Come on. It's like, maybe that's too far in one direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, eventually you do need to put clothes on to be a citizen of the world.
Were you a naked kid or a clothed kid?
I was a naked kid. I'm trying to think when I stopped being a naked kid. Probably sometime during elementary school. Like, I don't know if it was like first or second grade or something. But yeah, eventually I was like, oh, I should not walk around like this.
I was an underwear kid for a long, long time where I just wore underwear. And then I was told I had to wear my shirt. So then I wear my shirt and my underwear. And then I was told you have to put pants on. And I was like, ugh. But I love Winnie the Poohing it. I love having my bottom half out.
It is very freeing. Like, it's very
cash.
No pants.
No pants.
Pants really are the most uncomfortable part of an outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they're soft pants.
I agree. But I truly made a choice years ago where I was like, I won't be constricted. Okay? No. I will be free. All of my jeans have an insane amount of spandex in them. They're basically sweatpants.
Yeah. I have very few jeans. And yeah, I guess they're also stretchy. But whenever I do an acting job and the costume designer's like, what kind of jeans do you wear? And I'm like, I don't. Please don't get me jeans. Please actually get me anything else. And which has actually turned out great, because then that makes them figure out other things than jeans, which is like, oh, cute patterned flowy pants or like something else. And that changes the style of whatever my character was, as opposed to like jeans and like a nice blouse. And I'm like, yes, let's do that. Please stop putting me in jeans, because that feels very like basic.
It is basic, and it's what I live in on set. You better believe they say, do you want jeans and a cold shoulder top? I do not understand a cold shoulder top. Why does anyone want it? Who wants just your shoulders cut out? They make the ugliest fat people
clothing.
Wait,
is this a cutout of the shoulder?
Yes. It's a huge thing in fat fashion. They're like, you want to cover up everything. Your shoulder is not disgusting that you can show off to people. God forbid the peplum comes back. That took the fuck up over. That's a cold shoulder top.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that is strange. Because it's like, so everything else can be warm, but I want my shoulders to be chilly?
I want them out for the world. It's the sexiest part of me.
My shoulder.
Also, jeans, I think, are the hardest thing to fit. So it's always like, as a customer, I'm like, don't you want stretchy things or like, I don't know, a pant or I don't know. But I guess that's what people wear. They wear jeans.
I guess people do wear jeans. I just really don't want to ever. It's not comfortable for me.
I love my stretchy ones. I saw a lady today in these big wide jeans that look really cute. And then she was wearing a white tank top. And I was like, ma'am, it's 30 degrees. Where's your coat? And then I was like, I'm really? Getting old. I was like, that baby needs a coat. This young woman needs a coat. And I almost said something to her. I was almost like, what are you doing out here? You're going to catch a cold. And then I was like, go inside. Just go inside. Don't mother this woman.
Yeah, it's not. It's maybe she's like quickly grabbing something, like running an errand and then going back to her apartment.
She seemed like she was out. She seemed like it was a choice and she was standing on it, and I didn't like it.
No, I wouldn't like it either. Because it represents a lack of preparedness. You know?
And I mean, I'm known for a lack of preparedness. I keep traveling without a coat, but I do have like a big sweatshirt to wear, but like, she was in a tank top. I keep flying to Chicago without a coat. It's insane. I don't know why I keep doing it.
That is very funny.
And I keep, I leave, I'm like, better bring a coat. And then I almost missed my flight to, I think it was Pennsylvania. I don't remember. But I almost missed my flight because I was like, oh, you need to bring a coat. So then I tried on a bunch of coats. And I didn't build in that coat trying on time for plane time, because I leave exactly an hour before boarding.
Oh my God.
Because listen, hear me out. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Clear, pre-check, zoom, zoom, zip, zip, zap. So from my house to LAX, it takes anywhere from 30 minutes, 20 minutes, if there's absolutely no traffic, to an hour. So if I get there at boarding, technically I still have another like 20 minutes to get on the flight, because the boarding door closes 15 minutes prior to departure. So I have all up until that time. And that's extra time. So technically if I leave an hour before boarding, I really have like an hour and a half to get to the flight.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's really living on the edge.
I haven't missed a flight in a while. I don't want to say years because I don't actually know. I haven't missed a flight in a really long time.
Good. That is good.
Oh, and I told you this the other day. I was so mad because someone was sitting in my seat on my American Airlines flight. I had to fly American. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And so because nothing went straight to Philly on Delta. Mm. It was like Delta. Then I was like, okay. But then, so I'm on my American Airlines flight. There's someone sitting in my seat. And I looked at the person and I looked at the person next to them and I was like, oh, they must be a couple. And I was like, you're in my seat. And he's like, oh, and I was like, are you guys together? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So then I sat in their seat, but then the man was in my seat, but then I got called a woman's name. So I was like, not only did they take my seat, but they also shuffled around and they played seat shuffle. And then I'm getting called the wrong name. And then someone was poking my chair. And I was like, we don't even have monitors on American Airlines. What are you poking? And that wasn't my person. I was not supposed to be poked. And I had their future and I didn't want it. And I was so mad. Why did I bring this up? Oh, because I'm mad.
I would be too. Yeah, I'm sorry you had someone else's future or whatever, their destiny.
That's what it was. It was someone else's future. If you like let people have your seat, you have their future. And I'll never do that again. I'm gonna make people get the fuck up out of my seat so I have the future I'm meant to have.
I just can't imagine telling someone no, though. Like, if someone's like, hey, me and my wife or whatever, me and my kid want to sit together, I just would do it. Unless it was, like, a terrible seat. I think I would switch.
Usually I say no.
Wow.
Usually I say absolutely not. I picked my seat for a reason. But they were a black couple, and I was like, that's my brother and my sister. So I So I took his future or her future. I don't know.
I'm so sorry. Now you need to be equal opportunist and deny everyone.
Deny no one gets your everyone. Seat. Who gives a shit? I will sit where I want to sit. I can't believe you just give up your seat so easily.
Yeah, because as long as we're in the same section, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, Yeah, I don't know. And then also, I don't want to wait for them. If they're all like cozy and they got their laptops out and their coffee in the seat and stuff like that, I don't want to wait for them to gather all their belongings.
I do. I want to watch it. You sat in the wrong seat on purpose and you knew what you were doing. And you thought I was going to just like let it go. Get real. Get up.
You're a villain.
Grow up. Get in your seat. I am a villain. I'm an airplane villain and I love it.
Oh my goodness. This is funny. Actually, there was a post about a woman who would not give up her seat for a child and a parent to sit next to each other. But I think the kid was like a teenager or a preteen or something. So it wasn't like a baby or like a toddler. And like people were mixed because they were like, just let the family sit together. And then other people were like, I mean, that kid's old enough to be on his own. It's not like he's flying on a different plane. He's like,
here's the thing. We all have access to the same seating chart. We all have the same equal opportunity to pick the seats, to sit next to the people we want to sit next to. And if you don't take the opportunity to do that, I'm not giving that to you. Mm-mm. You want me to bend for the lack of your preparedness? No. No. But if I'm running late, I will ask everyone on that line going into security if I can go ahead of them.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no shame. I will literally show them my phone and be like, my flight's leaving at 5 minutes, please. Or the boarding door is closing at 5 minutes. Absolutely.
That's so stressful to me. I can't imagine talking to a whole line of people being like, can I, excuse me, do I have to?
Well, here's what you do. get that diaphragm going and go, excuse me, my flight's leaving in 15 minutes. Can I get ahead of you? And then everyone will turn around slowly and go, yeah. And then you rush, rush, rush. And then you're like, ding, 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 did it.
But it's also funny that you won't give someone your seat when you expect a whole line of people to allow you to go to the front of the line in security because of your lack of preparedness. But see, you won't pay it forward? I don't think it is.
Because we don't have the same access. We had different roads that we all got to the airport to get to. I don't, maybe you live underneath the airport. You live close to the airport, so you're on time. I don't live close to the airport. I don't hear the planes at my house. So I had to journey to the airport. And sometimes traffic be hitting.
Ahead of you is... are people who live under the airport.
Everyone got there earlier. Everyone in front of me is an airport goblin, and they all crawled from under LAX to get online to go to another airport to visit their goblin families. And honestly, I don't need to stand behind goblins anyway.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you. But like traffic, that's stuff I can't control. I can control picking my seat. Don't you see the difference?
Well, but you can control leaving earlier so you avoid traffic.
Okay, Sashir. Okay. Okay, what if I leave 3 hours, 3 hours before my flight? Is that ample time?
Yeah.
What if there's a horrific crash and I'm in traffic for two hours and 45 minutes and I get to the airport and I only have 15 minutes to get to my flight? Should I just wait on that line because I left 3 hours early and this, yeah, I just have to take it?
No, no, you should not.
People were flying out of the car in front of me. Traffic is at a dead stop. A helicopter has to scoop people out. Nobody's moving. The whole highway's done.
Yes. No, you, in that case, no, you absolutely shouldn't wait. And honestly, I'm not even saying you have to wait when you leave your house, whenever you leave your house. But if you expect that kind of kindness from other people when you are running late, don't you think it'd be nice to pay it forward sometimes when someone wants to sit next to their spouse?
You go home to your spouse. You're going to rub your love in my face? No.
I see. I don't even know why I thought you would be empathetic.
You have a child? Your choice. You have a friend where you didn't arrange it? I guess you're not that good of friends.
This is true. You and I don't think we've asked people to move seats for us. We just sit on the opposite side of planes and talk to each other. Or text each other.
And then tell the flight attendants to deliver messages.
Yeah.
I can't remember where we were going, but the flight attendant was like, your sister, she gave you this. It was like a kind bar. And I was like, my sister? And then she pointed at you and you were just waving. And I was like, that is my sister.
I was like, can you give my sister this granola bar?
And then you were sleeping for food and I was like, can you please wake up my sister? She's going to be so mad that she missed her food.
And I was happy when she woke me up.
And I watched her just like tap you and you were like, but it's just a funny way that I said it. Can you please wake my sister up? She's going to be so upset if she misses her food. It's like, what? What's wrong with your sister?
She needs her food.
She loves food so much. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada. And, you know, people talk and you're just like, oh my God, this is annoying. And then you just hit an unsubscribe on a bunch of things you got subscribed to on your email. And you're like, what is happening? And I know you've dealt with yada yada before. Like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding in the deep in fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere. And yes, it's possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. You don't take yada yada in life.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of our over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of questions we're going to have today. It's close to Christmas. I hope they're not spooky.
I also hope they're not spooky.
I hope they're jolly forward.
Yeah, let's get a jolly season.
I called a woman during one of my shows jolly, and I immediately was like, I'm so sorry, because she was kind of chubby, and I was like, because we were talking about like being fat, and I asked her what kind of fat she was, and come to my shows, you'll understand what that means. But I was like, what kind of fat are you? And she told me, and I was like, oh my God, you're so jolly. And then I was like, I take that back. That's like a slur. You can't call a fat person jolly. That's so rude.
Yeah, it's not
right. No. God, I was called jolly once, and it rocked me.
Yeah, it just feels like, even if it's not related to weight, it feels like condescending or something, like oh, so jolly, like, ew, I'm an adult.
It's a good insult though. You fucking jolly ass bitch, what are you smiling about?
That is very funny. Okay, let's listen to this voicemail.
Hello, my beautiful queens, this is Felipe. So I have a quick friendship query. I removed myself from a pretty draining friendship circle, a couple months ago, and while I have grieved the loss of these friends, and I am mostly on the other side of the hill, one stipulation that I didn't recognize at the time was that they would be coworkers, right? So they are still coworkers, and now I'm hearing a lot about, workplace gossip, and, hearing some very disparaging things said about me, including that I fake my mental health for attention, which is very hurtful because, Lord, if I did not have to deal with my mental health struggles, I would be much happier. There is no way, shape, or how that I could fake the feelings that I was struggling with. So how would you recommend navigating through this? Like, because it's very hard. I want to defend myself, right? And I want to defend myself towards coworkers that I do get along with, that I stay in touch with, that I am not avoiding because they hurt me and they were toxic. So how should I go about navigating this? Appreciate your podcast. Thank you for the LOLs when I was feeling down when grieving the relationship. And also, keep watching Survivor. It's a banger of a show. This season is phenomenal. Highly recommend. Would love to get Nicole Sashir on the Survivor bandwagon. Anyways, I hope you all have lovely days. Thank you all for your entertainment and for your beautiful friendship that I one day aspire to have with someone in my life. Have a blessed day. I don't know how you end these questions, so I guess bye.
So they were friends with coworkers, removed themselves from that friendship group, and now those people talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends what your goal is. Like, because people talk trash no matter what. It sucks that you still work with them and, like, it can get back to you. But, I mean, I don't know. They're not your friends anymore. So it's like they don't have to be nice. And you don't have to engage. You don't have to actually talk to them. I don't know. I guess my advice would be you don't have to do anything. The people who know you and like you hopefully don't lean into those negative things that those people are saying and just like take you at face value for who you are. And haters gonna hate.
Yeah, haters gonna hate. Baller's gonna ball. I agree with Sashir because, like, what would the goal? I mean, I guess the goal would be like they stop talking about me. But I feel like if you like pull them aside to be like, "Can you stop talking about me?" That's like more fuel for them to talk shit about you. I think being unbothered is. I'm so jealous of people who are unbothered, whether they actually are or they're just acting like they're unbothered about shit. But I think that might be the route to go, because then they're just like, oh, well, I guess we could talk about this person all we want, but it doesn't bother them. So it's going to get boring, because I think people only talk about people where they know it can get back to them is so like they can get a rise out of that person.
Totally.
And if they can get the rise, it's,
Yeah, it seems like you left that group because they were toxic. It sounds like, and they're still exhibiting toxic behavior. So I think keep doing what you're doing and like keep removing yourself from it. You don't have to engage. You don't have to listen to it. You know what they're saying is not true. And that's really all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. You're better than that. Like, you don't have to stoop to their level. Like, what's the, why blast energy at that? When you can blast energy to your heart, because 2024 is gonna be your year. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So check mark.
Check mark. Or check mark.
Mark. I think I said mark, but it might have been marked.
It's not like you said check mark, like the store.
Check mark. Oh boy, keeping friends abroad. Hello. In September, I moved from the Midwest to Korea for graduate school. Since moving here, I've met so many great people and have made lots of friends. One friend in particular is from Europe and is doing a semester abroad here. I'm reading this so strangely. So they will only be here until the end of the semester. We really clicked and we're having a lot of fun together. But I can't stop thinking about the fact that they are going to leave in a few months, and it's very unlikely that I'll ever see them again. It kind of sucks because they are the people I feel closest to here. So it is a bit weird to think of them leaving, whereas I will be here in Japan for the next 2 years.
One thing that is unique about this friendship is that we bonded very quickly, oversharing deeply personal things about our lives and feelings. For me, this is not something I really do, and I am generally much more private about my feelings. I think this is something that I struggle with in particular when I think about them leaving, because I feel like the more I share with them, the closer I get, and the more I'm setting myself up for sadness when they go.
We have talked about keeping in touch when they leave and have both expressed how we feel about everything, which is great, but I still feel quite sad about the situation. I never met someone where I've known so definitely that our time together would be short and limited, so I don't really know how to navigate it. I know that we will try to keep in touch after they leave, but it will never again be how it is now, which is a real bummer. I would love to know what your thoughts are, advice for what I should do, or any experiences anyone has had like this.
I also just want to mention how much I have enjoyed your podcast over the years, but especially recently as I've been living abroad. It's little familiar things like this that have made the transition a bit smoother.
I didn't realize how weird I was reading it until you started reading it. And I was like, oh, this is weirder than I even thought. Then I was like, I don't know how to get out of this.
It sounded like AI was reading it. Well, that's sweet. I'm glad our show is helping you abroad. I mean, I feel like you do this with people. You definitely did it with me, where you're like, you say it out loud that you want to be friends. Like, I would like to be your friend. Can we keep talking? Like, these are my intentions. So I feel like this writer can use that same energy of like, I really am gonna miss you when you go back home. And I feel like we have a great like rapport going, or like, I really trust you. I feel like we were like jiving really well. Can we keep talking? I would love to like keep this friendship going. And yeah, and then, you know, they'll answer however they answer, but I feel like there's a better chance of the friendship not continuing if you don't say anything.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I do think you need to be prepared that your friendship will morph into a different friendship.
Like, you might not be as close as you were while you were, like, in person, but that doesn't mean you can't, like, keep in contact, send memes, text, make phone dates, or, like, even, like, set up visits to see each other, like, once or twice a year or something like that. I think it's fun to have, like, friends overseas. Like, I have a friend of a friend who lives in England, so, like, anytime that group of friends does a big vacation, I get to see her, and we keep in touch via Instagram and stuff like that. So I like, it's fun to know that she's in my life. And if I ever go to England, I can definitely hit her up, and she's definitely going to, like, you know, be hospitable or whatever. So I think you just have to say it though. You have to be like, I would love to keep in touch with you guys.
Mm-hmm. And maybe plan a trip. Like,
yeah,
like, so that you know you already have, like, a future date of when you'll see this person again after the semester's over, and you have something to look forward to, and that will also, like, give you a reason to keep talking to each other because you're planning the trip, which could be to visit them in Europe, or could just be, like, to meet somewhere else, to go to some other place that you both really want to go to, because it seems like you both love traveling and being in places that you are not familiar with, so you may as well keep bonding over that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's really smart to have something to, like, look forward to, because if it's like, let's just keep in touch, let's hang out, and it's like, okay, but it's like, on January 6th we're flying to Washington D.C.
Oh, we're gonna
hang out.
Oh no, wait a minute.
We're going to, we might go to a parade or something, we might go wall climbing or whatever, we're gonna make maybe some signs, wear some fun colors, paint our faces, get, you know, mega horns or whatever, and, like, have a really nice time. I think that's a really great plan to have.
Some like-minded people, have a good time. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Salt.
Checkmate. Ooh, if you want a question answered, you can email NicoleandSashir@gmail.com, or you can text us or leave a voice memo, or whatever you're fancy. 424-424. 645-7003.
Oh, well, we also have merch at podswag.com/bestfriends. You can buy it or whatever.
Well, we have transcripts of our new episodes. You can check them out on our show page at earwolf.com or whatever.
Lastly, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Although I know it's easy to forget, but please don't. It's the easiest way to support this show.
Hey, Sashir, I gotta see you later.
I gotta see you later. Bye, dude.
Bye, dude.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.